From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his opening message in a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, a passage often called Faith's Hall of Fame. The first message in the series is entitled The Activities of Faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, By Faith, Not Feeling. The text is Romans 1, verse 17. The just shall live by faith. I shall not die. I do believe in the Lord my God, and this faith will keep me alive. I would be numbered among those who in their lives are just. But even if I were perfect, I would not try to live by my righteousness. I would cling to the work of the Lord Jesus and still live by faith in him and by nothing else. If I were able to give my body to be burned for my Lord Jesus, yet I would not trust in my own courage and constancy, but still would live by faith. Were I a martyr at the stake, I'd plead my Savior's name, entreat a pardon for his sake, and urge no other claim. To live by faith is a far surer and happier thing than to live by feelings or by works. The branch, by living in the vine, lives a better life than it would live by itself, even if it were possible for it to live at all apart from the stem. To live by clinging to Jesus, by deriving all from him, is a sweet and sacred thing. If even the most just must live in this fashion, how much more must I, who am a poor sinner? Lord, I believe. I must trust thee wholly. What else can I do? Trusting thee is my life. I feel it to be so. I will abide by this, even to the end.
Amen.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his first message in a new series dealing with the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, often called Faith's Hall of Fame. In the course of this series, Dr. Cairns will apply the faith of the various characters to the lives of Christ's people in our day. This message is entitled The Activities of Faith, and Dr. Cairns is focusing on the very first verse of the chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Before moving on to the examples of faith, we must understand what the Bible means by faith. As he addresses the activity of Christian faith, Dr. Cairns explained that to qualify as biblical faith, one's belief must be in the God of the Bible and in Christ as the Son of God. Then faith is called substance, that is, it conveys the idea of reality, of foundation. Third aspect of faith is its evidence, which in this context means a demonstration of the reality of something the eye cannot see. Moving on to the teaching of the text, Dr. Cairns sets forth five great truths about faith. First of all, faith sees, that is, it deals with spiritual sight. Then faith possesses a number of things, including the truth of God, Christ Himself, and the promises of the Scriptures. This leads to assurance of all that God has covenanted to give His people.
Faith actually sees in the sense of discerning and perceiving. When God saves a man, what does He do? He enlightens his understanding. The first thing that God does after He brings a man under conviction and He's bringing him into salvation is He illuminates the understanding, and then He renews the will. That's regeneration. When He gives light, He has to do something else. What good is it if you have a blind man, you bring him into a room and say, "Don't worry, I'm going to switch the light on." What good is that to him? He'll still stumble. He still can't see anything. Light is useless in itself to a blind man. And the light of revelation, the light of truth, in and of itself can only leave a sinner in the darkness unless with the revelation of the truth God gives the sinner sight to see the light. And that's what He does when He regenerates. He gives us light, that's the truth, but He gives us sight to see the light. That is the gift of saving faith. Faith is sight to see the light. It sees. Now that means it's dealing with reality. I want to emphasize this. The things of God are unseen, but they're not unsure. They're real. They're unseen by the mortal eye, but they're real. And they're not merely unseen. Here again, bear with me, for I want to just take a little hammer and apply it to a very vicious notion that's abroad today. Faith is not merely that which grasps the unseen. You see, many of the things of nature are unseen. You've never seen electricity. You can't see it. You can see the result of it. You can feel the result of it. But you can't see it. There are many things in the natural universe that are unseen, but they're still purely natural. Faith is not what so many moderns are making it out to be. Faith is no mere tapping into the great cosmic forces that are all around us, that are unseen and yet very potent. That's the world's notion of faith. And unfortunately, that's what has come to be respectable, even in so-called Christianity. When you listen to so many of the charismatics, when you listen to them talk about releasing their faith, and through this particular faith of theirs, when they are fulfilling themselves and they are getting into tune with their surroundings and all the rest of it, when you listen to them, what they are talking about is a faith that merely taps the cosmic forces around about them. And in that, they are no better than the Shirley MacLeans of this world and the other devilish heretics who are out to lead people astray. No better. Faith is much more than that. Faith always deals with the supernatural. Remember that. That's why it's sort of stupid. I realize that in spiritual things, illustrations have all got inbred weaknesses. But it's sort of stupid to give people illustrations of faith from the natural world. When I flip a switch, I have faith that the light is going to come on. That's a lot of nonsense, really. And it so trivializes the biblical idea of faith as to be, especially when you're talking about light, a bearer of darkness rather than help. Faith deals with the supernatural. Faith deals with God. Faith perceives the reality of God. Faith is that which is looking beyond time to eternity. Faith is that which is always training its sight upon Christ. Faith is looking to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Faith is standing upon this word, seeing its truthfulness, and persuaded that it is unbreakable. That is the sight of faith. Because it's always seeing, it's always acting. It's acting in this world by viewing the supernatural. How do you deal with the natural world? Not by a bunch of natural principles, but you deal with the natural world by viewing the supernatural. How can you act in this temporal age? By having your eyes on eternity. Isn't this, if you read on in Hebrews 11, you'll find this is exactly what the patriarchs did. As they dealt with men on this earth, they looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That's the action of faith. It sees spiritual reality. So faith sees. Second thing it does is it possesses. And I'm only going to have time to outline this. Faith actually lays hold of God and his truth. Now let me get this to you. Faith possesses the truth. You can never divorce faith from truth. Anybody who says he's acting in faith and he's acting either in neglect of the Word of God or without a knowledge of the Word of God is not acting in faith. Faith is that which possesses the truth and acts according to the truth. Where the Bible is denied, there is no faith. And insofar as this Bible is disobeyed, to that extent you have unbelief. Faith possesses the truth. Not only so, but faith possesses Christ. Faith always lays hold of Christ. And in the true biblical meaning of the word, there is no faith where there is no Christ. Now you can follow that statement through. It's very easy to make, but it's a very large statement. You're not saved if you don't have Christ. The old Puritans used to talk, and indeed many today still talk about a historical faith. That is a belief in the history of redemption, the actual things that are given us in the Bible. Really, that's not faith at all. So why bother using it? That's not faith. If you don't have Christ, you don't have any saving faith. If you don't have Christ, you don't have faith. Period. That's it. Faith always has Christ. Now then, if you are saved, remember this, faith always has Christ. Therefore, Christ's person and work are never on the periphery or the circumference of your life and your activity. Christ and his person and work are always at the heart of anything you do, if you're working by faith. Faith in every realm always clings to Christ. It has the truth, it has Christ, and it has the promise. The text says faith is the substance. We could say it gives substance to the things we hope for. It is the demonstration of the things that we are not able to see with our eyes. Faith has God's promise. We often sing those words, standing on the promises that cannot fail. Though the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Faith has the promise. Now put that together. Faith always is yoked to truth. It will never give up the truth. Faith always lays hold of Christ. And faith always holds on to the promise. Man, how the devil would like to get our eyes off the Lord. How the devil would like us to relinquish our hold on the promise of God. And when you give in to such satanic temptation, you lose confidence. When you start to look for another basis of assurance than God's truth, God's Christ, and God's promise, when you start to look within, when you start to argue, well, I have done this and I have done that and I have felt the other, therefore I must be a real Christian, you'll find that you're overwhelmed with doubt and with fear. But when you get back to God's truth, when you get back to God's Christ, his person and work, when you get back to God's promise and take your stand in those things, you find that your faith gives you a wonderful peace of heart and mind, because faith possesses these things. And therefore, faith assures. That's the third thing it does. It is the evidence, or as I said, perhaps the title deeds. Faith is a wonderful gift of God. It enables the Christian to treat the things that he hopes for as property to which God has given him the title deed. We're hoping, as the patriarchs in this chapter, we're hoping for that day when we go into the city whose builder is God. We're hoping to be gathered safely home to glory. We're hoping for all the beauties of heaven. Now, hope in the Bible is not what men count hope. Hope in the Bible is a confident waiting for. We are confidently waiting for these things. Why? Because we have the title deed within our hand. God, when he gives us faith, gives us the proof that he'll give everything that faith encompasses. And whatever faith lays hold of, we're sure to get it. When God says we'll get it, as God says we'll get it, we're sure to get it. Why? Because faith is the proof, the title deed, and the demonstration. Faith gives assurance. That's why when it comes to even the assurance of salvation, he talks about the full assurance of faith. It is the assurance produced fully by faith in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.